And yeah, it was really good though. Okay, ready? Turn your Bible to turn your Bible to Psalm 138, or excuse me, 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Yeah, I forgot to charge up. I forgot to charge my mess up. So let's see here. It's amazing though how we've got all this electronics that can help us out. So whenever we get in a bind, Psalm 139. Okay, if you got the Blue Gideon Bible, it's page 639. If you've got my little phone like I've got, it's got, and you got the program I've got, then you're going to have to search. Go to the table of contents. That's right. The middle verse of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, Psalm 119. So there you go. All right. Let's look in here, and I'm going to read a couple of the versions because this is some awesome stuff. Let's see what version that is. Okay. All right. Here we go. How do you know that none of us in here are an accident? Even youngins that are product of rape or incest or other things, they're still not an accident. Because if God already knew them, then God already had a plan for them. Okay? So there's no such thing as an accident person. Now, with that said, let's read Psalm 139, 13. Is that working, sister? Eddie, can you help her with that? I think you might need a new battery for her hearing. You got it? Okay, she got it now. All right. For you for me, Psalm 139. Anybody else got a hearing aid and it's not working? You got your hearing aid here. Now I'm talking about the wires. Anybody got the wire? Okay. Psalm 139 and 13. For you formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Now let's just want to stop here for a minute and look at a couple of the versions of that. One version says, "For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together." That's what it says. You formed me. That word "formed" in the Hebrew is knit together. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. Meaning, even in the process of you being designed, when you were in your mother's womb, you're designed. Now you're being formed. So he's saying, while you're in your mother's womb, while you're being knit together, I even had part to do with that. He says, "I will confess and praise you for you are fearfully and wonderfully, and for the awful wonder of my birth, wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well." Now, again, let's go back to the message here. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, High God, your breathtaking body and soul. I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. So now, every last one of us are made up. I mean, God's got a plan for our life. When I think about knitting, he said, "I knit you together in your mother's womb." I want you to think about this now. If somebody's going to knit something, usually when they knit something, it starts out with a plan. You got a plan. You got to figure it out. There's a reason why I'm knitting. I'm just going to sit here and just start knitting. Even if you start knitting, you start thinking about it. And all of a sudden, you go, "Wait a minute, I can do something with this." And so then it becomes a plan. So God has a plan for every one of our lives. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He's got a plan for us. And if he's got a plan for us, when you're knitting, you got to have a pattern. Now, I honestly do not have the patience or the fortitude to knit. I watched my mama knit, and I watched her knit all these colors together and with all these patterns, and I watched her crochet, and I told my mama, just, if I start doing this, do me a favor, stab me with that knitting needle. Just go ahead and that ear and stab all the way through the other ear. She said I wouldn't hit anything. So, there's a plan. There's a pattern. And there's a purpose. If you're going to knit a sweater, there's the purpose. If you're going to knit socks, whatever you're going to knit, there's a purpose. So, every last one of us, there was a plan for our life. There was a pattern for us. And then there was a purpose. Have you ever said, if I'd have married into another family, things could have been different? Or if I had married another man, if I'd have married another woman, things would have been different? Y'all quit looking at me like that. You know, it's amazing how they are. People with curly hair spend thousands of dollars getting their hair straight. People with straight hair spend thousands of dollars getting their hair curled. White people spend thousands of dollars getting dark, and dark people spend thousands of dollars getting light. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's good. So again, though, you got to remember this now. So we're going to be talking about identities. Now, you got to think about this too now, about your identity. Remember this now. You were born with a certain amount of traits. Remember, there's a plan, there's a pattern, there's a purpose. Everybody has innate within them, they have certain genetic traits that have them where they're actually not necessarily predestined, but you could say they're going to, I mean, like DC and Daniel, when they were born, I mean, DC was born patting his foot. Daniel was born snapping his fingers. The boys love music. Azal was a musician. And so from the time they're a little bit of thing, when it says, train up a child in the way they shall go, and when they get older, we'll not depart from them. The word train up means find their bent, what they're good at, and then feed what they're good at. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars I spent on musical instruments, and anything they wanted to play, I got. Anything. And they really got good at it. Whatever it was, they got good. Once they got to be about teenagers, they started passing me. But until then, I could tear them up. I can't tell you the nights in church. We just go to church during the middle of the week and just sit there and play. Or play in the house. Just play, play, play. And so now it does my heart good to be able to play with them, and they're teaching me. And that's some awesome stuff. But again, so people say when somebody's born, they're a blank slate. Well, there's a blank slate partly, but there's also predestined genes in another part of them. So they're born, certain people are born with certain personality traits and types. But then, as they grow up, the things around them help form them and shape them. So it's kind of a push-me-pull-you kind of thing. So in that kind of environment, or thinking about that, I want you to think about identity. Who are you? You know, if you've ever been married, I can guarantee you in the middle of an argument, how many's ever heard or said, who are you? Who are you? Are you the man or the woman I married? Or I tell the boys, where are you? Who are you? Is there anybody home? Fellas, what are y'all doing? Okay. But again, remember, here's the question. Who are you? This is part one. I'm not sure how far to take this, but I do want to show you a little bit about identity. And then we're going to go from identity, biblically showing identity, and we're going to go to your identity in Christ. So I'm going to show you. Here's some of your makeup. So what's your real identity? What is an identity? Everybody in here has a different identity. I have identical twin brothers. They're so close alike that their children used to get them mixed up. All right? They're that much alike, their little children kept going to the wrong one. Or they would call the wrong one daddy. That's how much they look. Y'all seen them when we got married. They're really, really alike. But they couldn't be any more different. One likes jeans, riding motorcycles. Then you got the other one going. He's got the fiddles playing. You know, not the fiddles, the violins play, and he's listening. You know, he's a commercial artist working in North Carolina Medical Society. He's got the. You go in his house is different than going in my other brother's house. when you go out with one of them, there's one thing you can see, you got another, there's another thing. Linda didn't mean to, but she kind of praised one and insulted the other at one of my aunt's funerals. I had to do one of my aunt's funerals, and while I was there, as I was leaving the graveside, and it was cold, it was around, it had to be around one, well, they all died in the wintertime, so one of them died around Thanksgiving, one died around Christmas, and another one, you know, there were all those times, one of the last ones, that's what we had. Linda walked up to Gary, while Larry's standing right beside him, and said, "Gary, you have got to take your brother shopping and teach him how to dress." And so Larry's looking at him like. And so I looked over at Linda and I said, "Linda, you're telling Gary how great a dresser he is, and Larry, the twin brother, standing right there." And she said, "Uh-huh." Because they're different. Even though they have a lot of genetic same makeup, they're different. Okay? Okay, so here we go. So an identity, is identity something you were born with? Part of it. Part of it. Part. Y'all say part. Is it changeable or never able to change? It is changeable. Okay, but you got to work at it. It's here. Ever since Adam made his choice to disobey God in the garden, he and all of his descendants, that'd be us, weans, have been identified with sin. The Bible tells us, Psalm 51:5, that we were brought forth in iniquity. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, just as through one man sin entered to another man, salvation came. So Adam, sin entered into mankind. And his declaration of independence in that garden explains the rebellious nature that we, every one of us, have. How many in here ever had to be taught to be bad when you were little? Yeah, we were taught to be good. Because inside, we would get in trouble. When I was a little boy, I got in trouble. I was always getting in trouble. You know, it sounded like I stayed in trouble. But Mama had a hard time trying to teach me, you can't do this, you can't do this, blah, 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 because of that nature that we're born with. That nature is rebellion against God. Automatic. Every person on earth is born with a nature that naturally rebels against God and repels the Holy Ghost intrusion into our life. Okay, so now, because you were born in the family of Adam, is that thing working again, sister, or is it messed up again? Is it working? It's not working? Okay, well maybe it might need a battery if the volume's not loud enough. Okay, so because you were born in the family of Adam, let me hold this up like this. This might help you because I keep moving my mic. I'm used to having my mic right here. Okay, let's try it. Let's try to appeal. Okay, so here we go. Because we were born in the family of Adam, we all possess that natural bent, okay, to live self-centered lives. Now, so here's the pry bar. If you're taking notes, write this down. The sinful nature has a pry bar in your life. Did you know that? The sinful nature has a pry bar in your life, and that pry bar is self-centeredness. And so some people's personalities, let's try this. Check, check, check. There you go. All right. So now, we all, if we're not careful, because it's a natural thing. If you prick your hand with a knife and it starts bleeding, your whole body rushes to help it. That's our nature. Okay? So here it is. Yet with a heart of love, the Heavenly Father has persistently sought to draw each person with his offer of adoption. He desires to adopt us into his family and give us a new nature, the same moral nature of his son. Think about this thing, like the fruit of the Spirit. When you see the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine manifestations of the fruit. The nine manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit is this, and if it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's also the fruit of Christ. Okay? So if you want to know Christ's nature, look at the fruit of the Spirit. That was Christ's nature. So he wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life too. So when you become a Christian by receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you also receive a new identity. As a child of God, your old sinful nature has been exchanged for a new identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. But that word creature means creation. He is a new creation. The old things are gone or passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So here's some definitions here. I just wanted to kind of get some groundwork going today. I hope this has been enlightening. Even if it might sound like you've been listening to this for years, maybe put together in this package, it'll be like, you know, I love, like John 3:16. I can sit down and hear a man preach on John 3:16 any night of the week. I've heard messages on John 3:16. I've preached messages. I've preached hundreds of messages on John 3:16, but still there's always something new. There's always something different. Or something speaks to me different this time than it did last time. So here we go. If someone asks, who are you? I'm going to give you a pause here. If someone asks you, who are you? What would you say? Well, that's good. But if somebody asks you, who are you? Who are you? What would you say? You see, many of us describe ourselves. Here's the clincher now. It's like somebody asked me, was I a Republican or a Democrat? I said, I'm a Christian. And they said, who are you voting for? And I said, I'm voting for the one that's got the Christian values. That's the one I'm looking for. I know, good riddance, yeah. There's in local government, in a big government, it's hard to find anybody, actually. Okay, so many of us describe ourselves, here's the problem, and I see this all the time. I was guilty of this, personally guilty of this, and once I realized what was going on, I stopped it. And if you're guilty of this night, don't raise your hand, but I would think that after hearing this, you would want to stop it. Okay, listen carefully. Many of us describe ourselves by what we do. So, who are you? Listen carefully. I'm a school teacher. I'm an accountant. I'm a welder. I'm a preacher. I'm an electrician. I'm a banker. That's not what people are asking. Okay. Others study genealogy and trace their roots to determine who they are through family lineage. And they put name tags on it. Well, you know, and Linda's got all grades of Italian in her. And her mother's daddy came over off the boat from Italy. But on the way through, he stopped in England because that's where he was fishing and picked up Linda's mother's mother. So her mother was English, her daddy was Italian. And that then Linda's daddy is Irish. So you got Irish and Italian and a redhead. So here we go. So you can put the names on it. And I've got an Indian heritage. And not only have an Indian heritage, I got a Scottish, kind of a Scottish heritage. And on one side of the family, they were tracing my family lineage on my grandmama's side, and they traced it all the way back to Germany. And they found out that we came from German Jews. And they got scared and quit looking. I wish they hadn't quit. Because I'd like to have known that. So there's Jews and there's Indians and there's Scottish. You know, so Linda told me if there's Jews and there's Scottish and there's Indian, then my great-great-granddad must have been Geronimo Lintonstein. Nick Mac Lintonstein. Geronimo Mac Lintonstein. All right. So here we go.
Name tags will not suffice when a life or death situation forces you to look at the core of your being and find out who you really are in relation to the one that created you. God, when you stand before God, He don't want to hear you say, well, I'm an electrician. You don't want to hear that. When God's examining me, He don't want to hear me say, well, I'm a pastor. No. That's not what He's wanting to hear from me. He knows what I do. It's a calling. Everybody's job is a calling. And people get all mixed up. They go into church and say, well, because he's behind the pulpit, you know, he's way up there, and because we're sitting here and all I do is mow the grass or I pick up paper and walk through here, he's up there and I'm down here. No, we're all down here at the foot of the cross. The only thing that makes us different is our callings. And it doesn't make us different. We're still at the foot of the cross. We are all, before we were saved, we're sinners in need of a Savior. Once we're saved, we are saved pilgrims marching through this world. And we need to stay at the foot of the cross. And at the foot of the cross is where we find our strength. And so remember, when God's looking, you can come up with all kinds of things. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. It don't matter. Okay? That's not you. We're talking about you. So, here we go. And this is going to get good when we start talking about you in Christ. All right? But I got to get somewhere before I do. So what's your identity? Identity is based on your distinguishing characteristics. Identity involves both your inner character and your outer conduct. Think about this now. Your inner character, your outer conduct. Now, the word identity comes from the Latin word idem, which means same. So your visible conduct should constantly reflect your inner character, forming your identity. It's kind of like my boys. I can tell you just as good when those boys get mad at each other, they're ready to crown each other king. They're ready to, you know. And I know deep down inside they don't feel that way. And it's not long before I see them come right down and everything's fine. Same way, we could be somewhere and one of them starts acting kind of strange and or acting kind of different because they're having a bad day. And I'll know inside, don't worry about it, because by the time they cool down and by the time they think about it, they're going to come back and apologize. Sure enough, same way with Linda and myself, anybody. You may see somebody act a little different, but eventually the real you is going to come out, and people are going to see it. So here we go. So as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Wow, that's some tough stuff. That helps me though when somebody's acting out of it. How many's ever heard somebody say they're acting out of character? Or they're not acting like their self. That's what we're talking about. Something's going on that's got a conflict within them. And when that conflict of interest is in them, then their conduct does not match their character. And if you hold on and pray and wait, God will handle it. God will take care of it. But if you get all in somebody's face and start, this ain't you and I'm not going to have it, blah, 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 you're going to start World War III. And then both of you are going to be acting out of character. So, do you trust God enough to take care of it? I do. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. There it is. Knit. Now remember, knit means it is so awesome. It is just so, so awesome. Which means there was a plan. I'm trying to write this down again. A plan. There was a pattern. And number three, there was a purpose. And God knows all this for your life. So now, what is the difference between your inner identity and your outer identity? If you'll notice, I used a trademark up there to mark the visible you, the real you. Okay? I'll put that up. See the trademark symbol? Registered symbol? What's the difference? And we're going to do this, and unless you got questions, we're going to get out of here pretty early, I think. What's the difference between your inner identity and your outer identity? First, the visible you. When you think about the visible you, you could actually write down reputation. And reputation goes up and down. Goes in and out. It all depends who you're talking to. I've gone to doctors before, and I thought the doctor was absolutely great. And somebody else come out and say, I'll never go to that doctor again. Well, they'd handle me rough. Or go to a dentist and go, man, I didn't have a bit of pain whatsoever. And they go, I hurt for 3 weeks. I'm never going back. Oh, yeah. Yes, I've gone in places, and they go, don't eat here. You know, why not? It's wonderful. So here we go. So reputation changes. Okay? It changes. Constant reputation. And it all depends on who you ask. Right? So, how we're known by others or by others, personality. Like I told you, I saw that guy in Walmart the other night with Bethany. I was in there getting Bethany some final stuff before she left. Bethany, as far as I know, is having a good time. I don't know. They blacked it out, said we can't see her for a whole week. We can't talk to her. We can't communicate with her. We can have nothing to do with her for a whole week. And they're testing her and finding out what needs to be done. She can call us, I think, this Friday or Saturday. She can start calling us some during the week, the following week. If they let her, and at the end of the second week, there's an evaluation period. They evaluate her and decide whether she's a fit for them. And she also has to evaluate and see if she thinks she's a fit or they're a fit for her. So she evaluates them, they evaluate her. So at the end of 2 weeks, they're going to decide whether to keep her or not. We need to pray that they keep her because she needs it. Okay, she needs it bad. And she needs to be away from everybody. Okay, and that's what they told us from the beginning. If you really want her to really heal and move forward, she has to be away from everybody so she can receive this therapy. It's therapy. Yeah. It is. And it's just an intense therapy. And it's all Christian based. And like I was telling y'all, I don't know if I told all of you or not, but when I walked in the door, a 7-foot marble, written in 7 foot of marble, it said, behold, I make all things new. Yeah. Yeah. In August. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they told us. Oh, see, and also, it's marble and cedar outside, and it's so tame that the geese are walking on the sidewalk, walking through everything, the mama geese and the baby geese. And inside, when you first walk in, there's a letter from Billy Graham. It's right behind Billy Graham's library, right behind Billy Graham's Evangelistic Association. And so when you walk in, there's a letter from Billy Graham, and I was so impressed with Billy Graham. I've always been, but especially when I saw his typed letter, and at the end I saw how he signed his name. It looked like my writing. So I said, that's a very intelligent man. I couldn't read it. I had to see Bill and Graham. I said, all right, here's a good man. So, And then when we walked back, the lady told us it's going to be up. They started running into some problems with her medicine because they were telling that they needed one thing, and her doctor said they took her off of a certain medicine, and they said we got to have proof. Her doctor was on vacation, the nurse practitioner just left, and so I had to work through the secretary, and it took about an hour to get her to get all the stuff together to finally get it sent to us so Bethany could approve it, so we could send it back to her, so then she could send us back, you know, the stuff. And so the lady said, well, look, have y'all eaten yet? And we said, no, ma'am. I was hoping she was going to invite us there. But she said, we've already eaten here. So why don't you go get them something to eat and bring it back? So I went to Bojangles, and they didn't give us any spoons or forks. And Bethany and Linda both had the bowls. So I said, well, where's the cafeteria? And I went back in the back, and there were chefs back there. Chefs. Chefs. Can I say that any crazier? Chefs. And when they asked for the spoons and stuff, I walked by the dessert tray they were bringing out. And I think they took one pie and cut it in about four pieces, maybe a five. And it was so big and so thick. And the cookies were massive on top of the plate. Three or four cookies were one for dessert. I started grabbing some stuff on that dessert tray and carry it out. But Linda said, don't you do anything to mess this up here. I said, all right. It was one of the nicest places I had ever, honestly. It was the nicest place. Doc, you remember how beautiful that place was when you had your cancer treatment? You remember how pretty that was? They had the towels fixed up like geese and swan and all that. Remember how awesome that place was? This is how this place is. Yes, it was just amazing. So, oh yeah, when I walked outside, I found that out. Okay, so here we go. So how are you known by others? By your personality. Now listen carefully. How you're known by others. Not just your personality. This will hurt. But by your mask. Some of us are some way around certain people and there are other ways around other people. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a mask. And then sometimes there's pretenses and there's outer appearance. So then there's also actions. So all that makes up the reputation. So a person that usually seems to be pretty calm and cool around you may not be calm and cool around when they're with the boys or with the girls. You know, or somebody that's sensible around you might not be sensible around somebody else. And so that's why the reputation changes, the visible you. But the real you is character. Okay? And character does not change. Or if it does change, it changes very, if it does, it changes very slowly. Usually because of an injury or because of a change in surroundings, it can cause the character to change, but usually, the character is sort of like, do you know what ISIS is using? ISIS is starting to use to carry some of their messages now so they can't be picked up on the radio and on the computer. They're using homing pigeons. Think about it. You can hear the chatter on the radio. They can do all kinds of blocking and changing the program. But a homing pigeon, you can put it in it, homing pigeon goes, there it goes, there it is. Nobody knows what's going on. Yeah. So there's the homing pigeon. So now, here we go. The real you is how you're known by God. Character. Now remember, the visible you is how you're known by others. The real you is how you're known by God. Basic nature, your character, your value system. And just like a homing pigeon, you know, you think you might take a homing pigeon and send it all places everywhere, and you just tell it. When I was a little boy, I used to think, well, what do? You tell it to go to 5th Street. And then tell it, go to 10th Street. No. Every homing pigeon has one home. You pull it away from it, and it goes back to home. You know, when geese fly south for the winter, and fly south for the winter and fly back north in the summer. You know, they got a homing device that then it was like a GPS, and they will fly within a matter of feet each time where they're going to go and back and forth because they have a homing device in them. So the same way, your character is your homing device. You're going to fly back to that homing device. Even if you get off course, have you ever noticed people get off course? They're in church, and they get off course, and they fly the other way. And they go out and sin, and they get all crazy. But when they finally stop long enough for God to deal with them, guess what happens? The homing device pulls them back in. Okay? Of course, the Holy Spirit and your character. So, there you go. So, all man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. I want you to say something. Say this with me. My past is my path to now. It helped mold me, but it doesn't define me. Wow. Every last one of us has a different path. Remember, you're uniquely and wonderfully made. There's a plan, there's a pattern, there's a purpose. I grew up in a whole different family than y'all grew up in. My brothers and I grew up in the same family, but we're not doing the same thing. My brothers and I mean, the older we get, the farther and farther apart, so to speak. We'll come back home, but we just keep doing our thing. So this is part of your identity. I was asked when I talked about character, can you describe when people think you're something else, like at PCS. I might be known as an electrician or known as an engineer, but as I found, I was known as an engineer. But they would always come to me and tell me, especially the big guys would come to me and tell me, I need you to go out to this 37, I need you to go out, or this 35, I need you to go out here to this 38, I need you to go out here to final prep, I need you to take your engineering hat off and put your pastor hat on, or your counseling hat. They need you to go do it. I said, okay. Mr. Fountain used to tell people, he's our ISO guy, which is the pattern that we use to build everything. He's our ISO guy, but he's also our company pastor. He would tell all the bigwigs that. It was really kind of cool that he would say that. But again, so to most people there, I was known as an engineer. But I was doing weddings and funerals and going to hospitals and visiting the sick and doing all kinds there. So I was also the company pastor. Some of y'all, you're known as mom. But then somebody else, you're known as wife. Somebody else, you're known as whatever you did as your occupation. But remember, deep down, God knows you. Okay? Oh, yeah, I'm glad he knows me too. That's right. That's a fact. That's right. That's right. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for this night. We thank you, God, that you're going to show us, Lord, how we can mark our identity, how we can know that we're doing right, how we can know we're moving in the right direction, how we know that you're there with us, and that nothing can get in the way of what you've got for us. Lord, I know, God, that you're an awesome God. You got this. We trust you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I think about like D.C. D.C. Sunday. D.C.'s up here preaching Sunday. But 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I mean, the boy was raised in church, played music in church, did devotions, even did some preaching at youth meetings and stuff. But when his mama died, he just took him out. And he was out for years. And he went to Nashville to make it on his own. I told you about that. He came back and didn't even tell me. And so I had to stop him. And then he didn't know what I was going to do when I stopped him. And I run up to him and I loved him. I just run to him, put my arms around him, I loved him. And then this Sunday he was up here. You know, and then there was times where him and Daniel were out in bars playing on Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night. All over the place, two or three states out playing. Come home, wore out. And now, they're here. Because the character that was in them came out because the homing pigeon, the Holy Spirit, pulled them back. And so we can trust God to take care of us. Amen? Any questions or anything before we hang up? Hang up. We're going to hang up the phone. Anybody? Let's all stand. What was that, sister? Oh yes, yeah, identity's cool. It's a cool one. This will help you think about yourself because you know, in counseling, the greatest person I learned to work on, and the greatest person I learned about, was me. And the more I studied it, and like right now, I'm going in my third semester at college, and I'm starting in psych. And they didn't start me in the 100s. They started me in the 200s. and so I'm starting today in the 200s. And again, I'm going to find out about David Linton again. Yeah, just psych me out. Yeah, go ahead.